knowledge fight.
Dan and Jordan, I am sweating.
KnowledgeFight.com.
It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a Christian caller. I'm a huge fan.
I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes. Like to sit around, worship at the altar of Celine, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are. Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
Quick question for you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today, buddy?
So my bright spot today was going to be the challenge.
Right,
but
and
you've now watched
I've
it,
ruined
so
your day, your
you cannot,
life.
You
your...
cannot do our challenge recap until
right,
Monday.
Right, right.
When we will discuss in depth the alliances and betrayals. And,
I'm so excited.
So instead, I got to say it's Lil Jon at the DNC.
That was great. That was undeniably great.
It's a celebrity appearance that's done so it was just done great. So for anybody who wasn't watching, when they did the roll call of delegates from states,
yep,
they had music for everyone.
Yeah,
but you know, a lot of the states were just like some representative from there or
sure,
whatever who was saying. You know, when they went to New York, Kathy Hochul, spoke, but Spike Lee was standing there.
Sure, yeah.
So there were some celebrity pop ins.
Sure.
But for Georgia, when they called for the roll call of the delegates, now first, they start playing Welcome to Atlanta. So it's like, ooh.
All right.
Is Ludacris going to come out?
All right.
Is Jermaine Dupri going to come out? And then Lil Jon comes out and casts the vote of, yeah.
Yeah. That was just.
And then he does a little mini concert.
He did a little bit. He did a little bit of the song. And he does it.
Turned
and he
down
does
for
some,
what?
He does
which is
some
great
showmanship too. Mm-hmm. He's going around. He's in people's faces doing. Mm-hmm. He's doing the thing, man.
And then he did VP Harris and Tim Walz.
Yep.
To sweat drop down my balls.
Drop my balls.
Did not say the second line. But it just like it worked. It worked.
It did.
As a celebrity appearance, it's like it does. It's not desperate.
Nope.
It's at a perfect slot for with so like you have to like Lil Jon has to have a sense of humor about himself.
Yep.
If he allowed like
100%
this to him and he's like this is a great idea.
He was like
wait,
this
there's
is the
not-
best idea I've ever fucking heard.
We're not doing musical representatives coming out celebrities for each state. No, just this. Okay,
just
cool.
Me?
Yeah.
Hell yes. Of course it should be me.
Yeah.
That is what Lil Jon thought. Of course it should be me.
Yeah. A good sense of humor all around, I think, and
fantastic,
rare, fun moment.
It was, you know, just genuine, pure fun. Mm-hmm. No one fucked it up. No one was like, "Oh, maybe it should." Be. Nope. It was just Lil Jon being Lil Jon.
Yeah,
it was great.
And Kid Rock when he was at the RNC,
right?
First of all, Kid Rock is a little bit sadder, as you know, a legacy
for a lot of reasons.
But then also, like he was. Introduce. He was doing a set
yep,
where then he introduced Dana White, who was then going to introduce Trump.
Right.
And Kid Rock clearly felt bad that he wasn't getting to introduce Trump.
Ugh.
There was an entitlement that came through his performance, and that was absent from Lil Jon.
No. He was happy.
Yeah.
He was just happy.
I think that makes a difference.
It does. It does.
Anyway, what's your bright spot?
My bright spot is, I don't know if you'll recall, but not too long ago, we were fostering some puppies.
Yeah.
You know?
I remember.
Hanging out. One of said puppies, named Sunny, she has a liver problem.
Sunny with a U or an O?
I believe with an O.
Okay.
She had a liver problem. We had to do her own special diet. We had to do that whole thing. Today, she went in for liver surgery. She's okay!
Nice.
She made it through. Recovering. Everything is going well. Sunny is going to be my dog because whenever we were fostering her, I had to sleep out on the couch because if she wasn't in the same room as me when she was trying to sleep, she would wail. She was just whining and wail. All the other dogs, no problem.
So you are going to take Sunny in?
I'm going to take her whether anybody likes it or not.
Wow.
But I can't take care of her liver disease issue. So we
got
to wait.
They got the surgery.
Well, I mean, yeah, but now she's got to recover and who knows? I mean, I'm not going to, what was the Stephen King movie with Kathy Bates? I'm not going to break her knee so she can't escape. That's all I'm saying.
Did you give part of your liver?
If I could, I would.
Yeah, I believe you.
that's actually a concerning thing to ask me and for me to say because I'm, that's trouble.
I didn't know that we'd gotten to that point, but I guess why wouldn't we have gotten to that point where you could do a liver transplant in a dog?
Yeah.
It makes sense.
I mean, I don't know. I think of all the things that
not human to dog. No. Be clear. We haven't gotten to that point.
We're not even a gorilla to human
right,
yet.
Right, right, right.
I think as far as being like a pure distillation of the anti-InfoWars energy, loving and wanting dogs to survive is pretty much as good as it gets.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. That is the antithesis of Alex.
Yep.
Well, no, that's not fair.
Well,
he just.
Yeah.
It's complicated.
We don't hear good news. This is good news.
Yeah.
That's what
that's
we're
true.
Listening for.
That's true.
Yes.
So, Jordan, today we're going to be doing bad news episode about Alex's coverage of the DNC. Mm. We're going to be talking about Wednesday, the 21st. And I think that, you know, the night before, Michelle Obama had spoke.
Sure.
Barack Obama had spoke.
Sure.
And so I thought, like, well, this is where Alex is going to need to come on air and say, hey, look, I know that we've been saying for years Michelle Obama is going to usurp the nomination at the convention.
Yeah.
There's going to be a hostile takeover. I was wrong. She actually said really nice things about Kamala Harris and Tim Walz.
It does not feel like that is the direction he'll go, but I'm willing to accept a curveball is available.
Yeah. So I thought I'd check in and really just prepare myself for the apology.
Yeah.
So that's what we'll be going over today.
Excellent. I think it's going
to
be great.
Yeah. So first, before we get to that, though, let's say hello to some new walks.
Ooh, that's a great idea.
So first, Ursa, thank you so much. You are now a policy walk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll burn your stone house to the fucking ground, Eddie. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, Steve from Scotland. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
That dude probably almost killed you.
I believe his message included, next time you come here, slish slash.
Yeah, you're done.
Taking a bloodbath.
And my son Kellen is a loser little titty baby, but I love him nonetheless. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much. That was made clear that it was an in-joke, and everybody would be fine. Otherwise, I was not going to...
I would assume so.
Yeah.
And we got a technocrat in the mix, Jordan, so thank you so much to Christine the Tomato Queen. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone sodomite sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bom, 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 bom. Jar Jar Binks has a Caribbean black accent. He's a loser little titty baby. I don't want to hate black people. I renounce Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you very much.
Yeah, I would assume that someone isn't going to take to wonk names to bully their own child.
I never know. It's a dangerous and terrifying power being somebody who's willing to read what anybody sends to you.
That is true. That is true. I don't know.
I'm Seems always like assuming that people have the best intentions in mind.
Yeah.
Of course.
So we start off here with someone who I question their intentions and have for the better part of, I don't know, his public life.
Yep.
RFK signaling again this morning on Fox, his VP, that he is going to be dropping out and endorsing Trump. I told you yesterday that I talked to multiple sources in the campaign, and he is scheduled to make the announcement Friday. Now, I saw him this morning saying that his schedule's all messed up because they're kind of taking off the ballot everywhere, and he's been crisscrossing the nation. But reportedly, because they've taken him off the ballot in the battleground states, the Democrats have, he's been checkmated. So the best thing he can do now is throw his support behind Trump. But so he might do it Saturday, he might do it next Monday. But they've been told be ready for him to get back to Los Angeles Friday sometime and to make the announcement. And I know the details of the announcement because that's just basically how I've learned of it, but I'm not going to give those out. I'm going to leave that for for them. They may change it, but you will see, unless he changes his mind. I don't make stuff up.
Okay. What earth-shattering news? RFK isn't taking this seriously.
I mean, I you can't leave. What? It was a dead bear cub in Central Park.
It was a joke.
No, that's not a thing you can say.
It was a joke.
That is not a thing you could say.
It was funny.
No, it's funny. No, it's still not funny.
You know what, though? Like, I get that mental process. I don't get following through with it to the point of putting a bear in Central Park, but I get that mind. Like, wouldn't it be funny if someone walked in, like, it just saw this?
I get it. I get that. Yeah, sure.
We
appreciate the comedy of the absurd.
Of course.
No.
Follow through is weird. It's strange.
Watched Chris Gethard's show for years. Studied it. I appreciate the comedy of the absurd, but you can't be, Chris Gethard won't become president. You can't become president if you do that.
Somebody in a dumpster.
Yeah.
Good absurd.
Yes, absolutely.
Bear in Central Park.
Not okay.
Strange.
You should be like, wait, who's going to be in that dumpster? Yeah.
So RFK is like, he's going to drop out and he's going to give his support to Trump. And I don't know. I think that this is probably... This is in the realm of certainly very believable.
Yeah.
You know, I think that Alex may have actually even had some inside information. I wouldn't be surprised if he had sources on this one.
Yeah, no, this one does make sense for Alex to be tertiarily connected enough to have like, oh, yeah, somebody did
word,
tell you.
Yeah, word on the street is he's going to drop out on Friday and that's the plan.
Yeah.
I kind of believe him that he knew or would know.
Yeah, RFK should be hooked into the crazy grapevine. Mm-hmm. And Alex is on the crazy grapevine.
Sure.
Yeah.
And especially considering the people like Del Bigtree and these like adjacent anti-vax fucks.
Yeah.
And shit. Like, there's a lot of overlap with Alex's world. So he might actually know. You know, he bluffs a lot and he has a lot of bullshit sources. But
sure.
This is one where I hear it. I'm like, yeah, maybe you did.
Is Ross Perot still alive?
Atros?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You think we could get another go around with him?
I think he's dead.
Ah, shit. He had a sword, man.
No, that was Booker T.
Oh, that's right.
So Alex, he never lies like Spider-Man.
Tomorrow's news.
Wait,
today.
What?
We don't want to get it wrong. We don't want to be hated and mistrusted like the corporate media. We want to get it right because we all live together on this planet. I don't have anybody tell me what to do. I make the decisions around here. Alex Jones, the buck stops here. I'm in charge. I'm in command. And that's not like bragging. I'm in command. No, it's a very dangerous situation. With great power comes great responsibility, as Spider-Man likes to say. And boy, have I learned just how true that is. So I'm a lot more careful than I was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. But I never, never consciously tried to lie to you, ever. Our currency is the truth. And our existence is here to serve God.
If your currency is the truth, you're broke.
97,000. You intentionally lied about that.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I like the. First of all, Spider-Man doesn't like to say that. That's something that was said to him, right?
Yeah. He actually sometimes, often in fact, resents that being almost a curse given to him by Uncle Ben. You know, like perhaps if he wasn't burdened with that final words, you know, then he could
just enjoy his great power,
do all kinds of shit.
Mm-hmm.
But now he's got to deal with all this Uncle Ben. He's a ghost. You're not alive.
It's a struggle, not something that Spider-Man preached.
No.
Also, when Alex says, like, oh, maybe I'm more careful than I was 20 years ago, this is a subtle reference to how he was drunk on air when he slandered Sandy Hook families.
You'd think.
Maybe.
You'd think.
A little more careful these days.
You would hope.
So I was listening to this, and I'm like, okay, I want to hear Alex's take on the DNC. We had a lot of speeches that night.
Sure.
I watched the coverage.
Yep.
Not the coverage. I watched the actual speeches.
You did watch the thing.
I was just like, come on, give me something. And all I'm getting is like a dorky voice.
It's Wednesday, August 21st, 2024. I am your battle-hardened host at the center of the InfoWar, and you are at the center of the InfoWar when you tune in and you research and you share the links. You aren't just part of the fight. You are literally the eyes, the ears, the brain, the soul, the heart, the guts, the blood, the bones, the sinew, and the will of the people for a pro-human destiny and future. Prosperitatis. time and an epic moment. A great time of change is upon us. Evil intends, while the political, economic, spiritual system is malleable, to reform the planet in their God's image. We intend to have God work through us to form it in His image. This is the eternal battle that we are living through in all the spectacular reality around us. All right. Roger Stone's joining us at the bottom of the hour with a lot of breaking news and analysis and his response to the last two nights of the DNC.
Okay, so I guess we'll get Roger Stone's analysis of the DNC. That's great. But this is just, it's such a dorky movie trailer. Like, they are trying to make, while the world is malleable, trying to form it in their God's image.
Yeah.
Like, if I feel like if I were listening to this, I would resent it.
It's, I don't know. Like, what would I say? It's not movie enough, mm-hmm. but it's too movie. Mm-hmm. You know, he's in the wrong zone. It's uncanny. If he was like going over the top movie, you'd be like, oh, he's doing a bit. But if he wasn't doing movie at all, you'd be like, maybe I should listen to him. But what he is doing sucks.
Instead, he has the most dramatic music possible playing and talking about reshaping the image of the world while it's malleable.
You know what it is? It's a cutscene from a video game. It's not a movie. It's not, you know, it's not something that's produced like, this is what we're supposed to be doing. It's like, oh, this is thrown off in the video game.
And it's low budget.
Yeah.
So, Colbert had some things to say about RFK.
Sure.
And Alex is not super thrilled about that. So he plays a little bit of Colbert here.
Okay.
They took him off the ballot in all the battleground states. Totally illegal. Took him off in his home state, New York. And then Colbert and the rest of the media made fun of him and celebrated it and wouldn't give him Secret Service protection when they murdered his father and his uncle.
Was that Colbert?
So this is, again, the arrogance of the deep state, the Democrats, to not even be nice to him. At least on the surface, they just can't help themselves. So here's Colbert.
Junior here got some bad news yesterday when our New York Supreme Court judge ruled that he is disqualified from the New York ballot over falsifying his residence. Now, prosecutors proved he actually lives in Los Angeles thanks to a federal statement of candidacy with a California address and a social media video in which Kennedy talks about training ravens at his Los Angeles home. Oh, foiled again! And he would have gotten away with it, too, if he wasn't the weirdest person on the planet. RFK Jr. claims this is just a misunderstanding because he has considered New York his home since childhood and intended to return. That doesn't make it better. That's like a surgeon saying, you're in good hands, Mr. Johnson. I intended to finish medical school. Now let's get stabbing. Anyway, this news sucks for him, but it is great for me.
That's basically all twisted lies. They make it credible. Everybody's looked into it.
What?
He has a home in Los Angeles. He has a home in Massachusetts. And he has a home in New York. And it has been his designated home for most of his life. But that doesn't matter. You can be on the ballot, and he qualified to be on the ballot no matter where he lived. But because he has lawyers,
he's going
to
drop out. Who cares?
His forms.
Why are we doing this?
They can sit there and find one little thing they claim's wrong, then the Democrats can do whatever they want and commit massive crimes. So this is a big deal. I talked to Roger, who's the real political expert this morning. He's coming on with us in a little while, and he agreed that this will probably add 6-7 points bare minimum to Trump, and they've got a margin of fraud of 6-12 points with the illegals and dead people voting in the databases. And so this, and we know Trump's already ahead, so this is just gave him even more of a lead that they've got to try to steal.
All those numbers are entirely made up.
Yeah,
they mean nothing.
Yeah.
So this is pretty tame stuff from Colbert, and Alex is just wrong. He's arguing an incorrect point by playing someone who's funnier than him, which is a disaster. It's somewhat likely that most of the support that RFK has will go to Trump. But the way this is going to shake out is not guaranteed. For example, many of the people who were RFK voters were people who would vote for Trump but have become super radicalized by the anti-vax ideology and view Trump as a vaccine pusher. With RFK out of the race, those people might go to Trump or they might not vote. If you're a single-issue voter on vaccines, Trump and Harris are both bad choices for you.
And if you think vaccines killed 50 million people or whatever, you should be a single-issue voter.
It seems like, yeah, you should.
Yeah.
There's a lot of protest-type votes caught up in RFK's numbers, and those might not just go to Trump if he backs out. Plus, RFK carries a lot of liabilities with him. If Trump actually makes him some part of the administration, he's giving the Democrats a target-rich environment for attack ads. There's almost no position he could offer RFK that wouldn't be mockable, that he seems like a legitimate person, like a candidate for.
You can't leave a dead bear cub in Central Park. I don't understand how that just doesn't, everybody just stops talking about him.
Right. I mean, later in this episode, they're spitballing all kinds of ideas, like he could be the head of the FDA. No, he couldn't.
No, he absolutely could not. Right. What?
Maybe he could be attorney general. No.
No.
What?
His dad shouldn't have been attorney general. That was a problem then.
If you're the Trump campaign, RFK is currently a problem either way things go. If he stays in the race, he might pull potential votes his way, but if he leaves the race, he may become your problem, and you might not pick up as many votes as you hope to along the way. If there is a negotiation of, like, I'll drop out if you give me some kind of a role in your administration,
yeah,
that could be a deal you might not want to take.
I find it hard to believe that somebody who has been openly saying they're going to vote for RFK is actually interested in voting all that much in the first place.
Yeah. It's a statement.
Yeah.
At this point.
Yeah. It seems like a person saying, how can I make things worse than Trump?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a person that's probably not like, oh, the ballot's going to be the way to do it.
I'm sure that this isn't borne out by all kinds of like polling and statistics and stuff like that. But it feels like the RFK vote is broken down into people who are lying and were going to vote for Trump.
Yes.
And people who aren't going to vote for Trump but would vote for RFK.
And probably wouldn't vote for anybody anyways.
Yeah, but yeah. Like a statement protest type of vote.
Right.
And so I don't know. Him dropping out and endorsing Trump really feels like a zero to
doesn't
me.
Doesn't feel like it'll do anything.
No. But oh well. Enjoy. Yeah. Have fun.
Mm-hmm.
So Alex declared war on RFK. Back when it looked like he was going to run.
That's right. I remember that.
Yeah. But now he's cool with him.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that now from that clip just now.
We have to figure out a way to explain away the whole, like, I was going to do a war on him. And there's bad things about him.
Right.
And so it turns out his son is probably CIA.
I'm sorry?
And again, I'm not trying to put down RFK Jr., but a lot of high-level sources have pointed out that, and this happens with people's children, they want to be their own person. His son has been in special operations. His son has been working with the CIA. His son, of course, dated Taylor Swift, who was a CIA operation.
What?
And it was his son videotaped him a month ago talking to Trump about vaccines and Kennedy joining him. And that would be done because Trump hates leakers and doesn't trust leakers after what he went through in the first 4 years in office. And a lot of experts believe that was done strategically by his son to sabotage that. And you can see he's got his back turned to him. He's turned to the side, and his son's there shooting video of it and then leaks it. And of course, they were leaked just the parts they thought would hurt Trump and Kennedy. So it's really sad to see that type of stuff going on. But if I was RFK Jr., I would keep his son at arm's length, who's also fought in Ukraine in the first days in the country.
What?
U.S. troops have been there for 10, 11 years, but he's been fighting since the war started, officially 2.5 years ago. So not trying to attack RFK Jr.'s family. I just, that is treacherous, but I think Trump sees through it. And so this is a big deal. This is a godsend. We are very, very excited.
So excited. You sound excited. The message seems to be to RFK, abandon your son for Trump.
Right? What just happened? One, I did not know a Kennedy has been fighting in Ukraine since the jump.
Uh-huh.
I feel like that should have been.
Did you know that Taylor Swift is a CIA operation?
Didn't know that.
Well.
That actually does make a lot more sense, though. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that she dated a Kennedy. Mm-hmm. I don't know any of the choices that any of these people make, but they sound insane.
Yeah. I think that this is a pro-family message that I'm hearing from
Okay,
Alex.
Okay.
I think that he really cares about the bonds between parent and child.
Cut ties. Send them to
a
war zone.
To Trump.
Send them to a war zone because he's a threat to Trump. And then never speak to them again.
So the CIA
is
working with RFK's kid in order to record him having a conversation with Trump, leak that, because Trump doesn't like leakers.
Sure.
So they're trying to sabotage the relationship between RFK and Trump through the CIA asset son.
Right. Now.
Brilliant.
I don't know if the CIA should be allowed to think anymore, if this is where they go.
I mean, it's a plot. It's quite a plot. I think it sounds more like something Alex would come up with than the CIA.
It does sound a lot like that, because it sounds to me like if I were to hear that plan, if I was like somebody who had any kind of control whatsoever over anything, and somebody was like, oh, the CIA's got this plan, I'd be like, then we have to close doors now.
Yeah.
There has to no longer
we're
be.
We're out of hand, man.
Yeah, this is out of control.
We need some oversight.
What are we doing?
Yeah.
What?
I know we're the CIA, but this is fucking dumb.
Jesus, can't we overthrow a country or something? We're doing this. We're getting his son to take photos? God. Ugh.
It sounds more like rationalization.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Alex has a guest on the show, not Roger Stone.
Okay.
Another luminary. Oh. Just like this is a great guest for him to have.
Victor Boot, the famous mercenary, as the media calls him, and businessman and confidant of Vladimir Putin, will be joining us in the third hour today.
Is that okay?
And he's also going to dial us in to some military folks on the front lines in Russia. Where now, 14 days ago, NATO backed an invasion of Russia proper. The first time that's happened since the Germans invaded in Operation Barbarossa in 1942. We'll also talk about the attempted assassination of Trump with Victor Boot. And we'll also talk about Putin with this amnesty for people fleeing Satanism in the West.
So, Victor Boot coming back on. We talked about him being on the show a little while back.
Right.
Because he is a gun trafficker.
Right.
An arms dealer, international arms dealer.
Yeah.
Sold weapons to terrorists, got it busted in a sting operation, and then was part of the prisoner exchange with Brittany Grenier.
Yeah.
With Russia.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, whoever said there are no second acts was way wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Way wrong. There are 4th, 5th, 6th, and then there are arms dealer acts, which may go on forever.
It's nuts. I mean, like, him being on once was pretty crazy.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Him coming back.
What? What?
Yeah.
What?
So, Alex, I believe he said in that clip, or if he doesn't, he does at other points, he says that he's a governor. Now, Victor Boot is a governor. Yeah, he's a local politician in Russia now.
Oof, I would be not there.
Yeah, he's part of a ultra-nationalist Russian party called the Liberal Democratic Party of Russia.
Sounds right.
And that name is misleading.
You think?
Yeah.
Hmm.
This party is famous as the first officially sanctioned opposition party in Russia, but it's also been followed by allegations that they were pretty close with the KGB.
Almost like controlled opposition.
It's an interesting phrase.
Hmm.
Their founder, Vladimir Zhirinovsky, has a bit of a flair for the dramatic, and he got in trouble in 2017 when he made this threat in Parliament.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, in March next year, I will drive into the Kremlin and shoot and hang you, you scoundrels.
All right, all right, all right.
The Organized Crime and Corruption Reporting Project explained their party like this. They, quote, cultivate an image of political opposition. The party's rhetoric is strongly nationalist, and its criticism of the official policy often adopts a right-wing position. But that criticism is often purely symbolic. In most cases, the party ends up supporting the Kremlin's legislative priorities. In Russia, the phrase loyal or systemic opposition is often used to describe such parties, which give the appearance of a functioning democracy, but in fact serve as placeholders for genuine opposition movements.
Hmm, hmm.
Their founder, Zhirinovsky, was a bit of a racist asshole with such public comments as, quote, the United States is being overrun by blacks and Hispanics. You and us, the Russians, share the same threat from the dark-skinned people from the Third World.
All right.
Or there was another time when he said, quote, dark-skinned street vendors in Moscow make it look like a non-Russian city. This is a black stain that should be eradicated.
Eek.
I'm taking these quotes from an article in the noted woke outlet The Heritage Foundation.
Sure,
titled,
sure.
Zhirinovsky in his own words.
The greatest ever made.
So yeah, that's the party that Victor Boot is now local governor for.
Hmm.
And it seems to be, I would assume this is part of why he's interested in targeting his efforts at someone like Alex.
Yeah.
Because I think there's there's some overlap spiritually.
Boy, I would really, I mean, if I was him, I would have asked for this same job, but like outside of Russia. Like, I would like to be, at least it's a little bit harder for you to kill me at a whim. Like, that's what I would prefer.
It would give you a little bit more comfort.
Just a little bit of space, you know? I don't want him, like, knowing a guy in my town.
And that's why Alex is, like, he's talking, I believe in that clip he even mentioned that, like, Russia is offering refugees from the satanic.
No!
Like, they'll let you come here if you're running from the globalists and stuff, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to stay here and go down with the ship. It's like, yeah, of course you're not going to.
Yeah, you do not do
you
that.
Want to be in, you
absolutely
want to be in
do not do that. Have you heard some of the stuff they do to people? You do not want to do that.
So I think that there's a little bit, I mean, obviously it's not a one-to-one parallel or anything, sure. But there's a little bit of a dynamic of the GOP and Alex's sort of Ron Paul fringy kind of shit with the Liberal Democratic Party and Putin's
right.
Shit.
You know, language-wise,
yeah. There's a sort of dialectic balance between the two that is similar.
Yeah, they can both use each other well, but I think both of them would be very mad if they were forced to live under either one of those
probably
ideas. Yeah.
So you know, you have to ask yourself, mm-hmm. Why is this Victor Boot guy coming on the show?
Huge question of mine.
It's because he's a big fan.
That sounds wrong.
And by the way, great job, the producers. Nobody gets Victor Boot. Nobody doesn't give interviews to anybody. He's a governor now in Russia. And the reason we get Victor Boot is he was in prison for over a decade here in the United States, extradited to the United States, supposedly for arms dealing. And he was in prison and listened to me for over a decade on local AM stations. See, so people on X are like, why do you have breaks? Well, I know a lot of you are young, and I understand that, but there's a thing called talk radio.
Yeah, so that's probably what I would tell Alex, too, if I were in his position.
Yeah.
You were my solace when I was in prison wrongfully charged with gun dealing.
I think my understanding of international law has always been that you wouldn't be an international arms dealer if everybody was going out of their way to like arrest you all the time. Mm-hmm. Generally speaking, if they get you, it's probably because you are part of a larger problem, you know?
And I have to assume that it's like pretty bad.
Yeah.
Like what you've gotten
like real
up,
bad.
What you've gotten up to is bad.
If it
rises to the level of, like, you know, a giant international sting operation over guns deal.
Yeah, because let's face it, most everybody likes a little international arms deal. Nobody wants all their own arms being all over the place, you know, because then people are like, hey, why are your arms there? Mm. So maybe you want a little international arms dealer, but you don't want the guy who's doing too much.
You don't want the guy who is eventually going to be played by Nicolas Cage.
Yes,
that's
correct.
That's generally going to be,
and
know,
Victor Boot is waiting for the Nicolas Cage
He's
treatment.
Already had it.
What?
The
oh, that's
Lord
right. That's right. Oh, my God. I forgot.
Yes.
Oh, fucking hell.
Yep.
Woof.
So anyway, you listen to Alex in prison.
Yep.
Makes sense.
That sounds right.
Also, Alex seems to be a little bit insulting towards Brittany Grenier here.
Right.
When he talks about the prisoner exchange.
Weird.
That's the power of talk radio. He's in prison listening to this show 5 days a week. Guys, look up how long Victor Boot was in U.S. prison. I want to get the actual number. I think it was it 12 years? How many years? So my memory served. 10 years in prison, sentenced to 25, and exchanged in that prisoner swap for the pot-smoking NBA player. So that's what's going on. That is the exclusive that nobody else gets coming up.
You're supposed to be fine with people smoking weed, Alex. Why would you be in favor of her being arrested in Russia?
I mean, shouldn't that you realize how bullshit the arrest was if it was. What are we doing?
This pot smoking NBA player.
I don't understand what his even angle is on that.
He's trying to make a convicted arms dealer the good person in the prisoner exchange with a woman who got arrested for smoking pot or having pot in a sham arrest in Russia.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't see any way. Like, no matter what tone of voice you take on that, you're crazy.
Yeah.
oh, she didn't commit a crime. Like, wait, no, you can't sarcastic your way out of that.
This just looks bad.
Yeah, this looks bad. Because it's bad.
I will say that I don't know if Victor Boot doesn't do any other interviews. Like, I don't know that to be true for sure.
Sure.
But if we accept that premise, Alex needs to do a lot more soul searching about how suspicious it is that he's the only person who will do an interview with.
Yeah, that should say more about him.
It sets off alarms.
Yeah.
So anyway, I was hoping to hear about the DNC, and Alex is just he has so many clips. I
forgot the DNC is even happening, honestly.
The show has a magic way of making you forget.
It's a good thing we don't have a guest in the second hour, because I have more than 20 clips from last night's DNC, and I know a lot of you don't want to be subjected to this. We covered it Monday. We covered it Tuesday. It is the most horrible lying. It's like a tree full of parrots chirping the same lies over and over again. It's like being teleported for a visit to hell. But that said, that we do have some juicy clips, and they're just amazing. They're absolutely amazing.
They're so amazing, these clips. They're lies and parrots. He only plays a few clips. It's underwhelming. The analysis is underwhelming, I would say. I was disappointed. But I kind of get it. I watched a little bit of his live coverage of the night two. And he wasn't on most of it. It's mostly like Harrison and Chase.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, because, I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to have to talk over the whole time.
Yeah.
It's a marathon, and I don't think Alex has the energy for it.
Mm-mm. I don't.
No, and it's kind of boring.
Yeah, so. I don't know what anybody thinks it's going to be.
Well, I mean, like, I'm tuning in, and I'm like, wow, Kamala Harris's husband is fucking delightful. He seems like he actually has a sense of humor.
That's it.
Yep, this is pretty funny.
It's great. What are we doing then?
He seems charming. I don't know how you're going to spin that on InfoWars.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah.
So Alex skimmed some headlines of articles about the DNC. I just think we're in soft territory.
There's another one. Democrats have controlled the White House for 12 of the last 16 years. Think about that. And somehow it's still all Trump's fault. That's really the big talking point, because it's true. Meanwhile, Cardinal Kupich prays for peace and unity as the DNC, while there's on-site abortion trucks killing babies. Can't make that up. We've got video of that.
Could.
We're going to also be getting into a bunch of other clips that I've got here. Obama says Trump's got a weird obsession with the size of crowds, pretending it's something about Trump's pee-pee. Meanwhile, Democrats have to bring rappers to their events to fill seats. But just think about what a disingenuous statement that is. We're going to play it. Do grocery stores, are they into crowds? Are football games into crowds? Are colleges into crowds? Are dental offices into crowds? Are movie theaters into crowds?
What is happening now?
Are restaurants into crowds? Because they have trouble getting big crowds. They had to pay people to go to their event in Chicago. They have a war chest. You know, it's just ginormous. But, again, talk about gaslighting. He's into the size of crowds. Well, he owns golf courses and hotels and everything else. When you're actually into success, you're into crowds. Like, oh, why are there ratings for movies? Why are there ratings for TV shows?
This feels really weak.
Yeah.
You have a couple of things going on here, which is that Alex doesn't have the same ammo he expected to have when he needed to cover the DNC. It's supposed to be the hellish mass ritual where they'd kill Joe Biden to allow Michelle Obama and Hillary to take their place as the head witches of the Democratic coven to finally bring forth the final battle between good and evil. And what do we have? A van providing emergency contraception to people? Obama made a dick joke?
Yeah.
Like, if you're an InfoWars viewer, you kind of have to be a bit let down by this.
This is weak.
And Alex is kind of making Obama's point about the crowd size joke. He's getting really defensive unnecessarily about crowd sizes, which is the very thing that Obama is mocking.
Yeah.
The correct response from Alex on this is either to say nothing or shame Obama for making a dick joke.
Yep.
It's beneath him or something like that.
Something like that. That's all you got.
Defending Trump's defensiveness about crowds is the weak position, and it makes you look stupid.
Yeah.
Should know better than this, Alex. Your instincts. Come on.
Yeah. I will say from a decade on the stage, mm-hmm. you're going to lose if you're like, hey, everybody likes crowd size. You're done.
Yeah.
You're done, buddy. Guess who's going to be on my side and not yours? The crowd.
Yeah.
And they're going to make fun of you.
Yeah. It's like I'm cool.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Nope.
Sure.
Shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
Nope.
So, you know, I think they could have just let it drop. But instead, Alex gets really defensive about this dick joke. And it goes on way too long.
Yeah.
If you're into crowds, that is freaking weird. I've never heard anything that weird. I mean, like, so what? He was on with Elon Musk 2 Mondays ago and got over 1 billion views and listens. So what? It's the biggest interview ever in history. I mean, big deal. Biggest interview in history. I mean, I thought I was doing good in one Joe Rogan interview, had 100 million views. I thought my Elon Musk interview with 50 million was big. Man, I thought Tucker Carlson's 300 million with Putin was big. But that's actually bad, folks. When you've got 1 billion views, you're a loser. When Kamala has a live stream and has 3,000 people on it, that's the type of crowd you want. You understand? In fact, since I'm on that, let's play the Obama clip. Obama. Trump's got a weird... I was getting this next hour, but let's start getting to some now before Roger gets on. Trump's got a weird obsession with crowd size. Here it is.
This weird obsession with crowd sizes.
If you're a radio listener, you didn't see it. He, like, holds his hands down by his crotch and does a penis measurement size. Look, we all know... It's got a 2-foot-long ding-dong. I'm sure doesn't probably have, you know, a rhinoceros penis. We understand.
What the fuck is happening? What's happening? This is all not right. How you would respond to this.
No,
This is not pro shit here.
Nope. No, I think here's the appropriate response. When the Obamas go low, they find out exactly how far down Trump dicks hangs.
Uh-huh.
You know, like that's kind of as good as you're going
to
get.
I think Alex is trying to get a little lower than what Obama's low here is.
Yeah, but that's...
And so you get the transphobia and the mocking of Michelle Obama, but then it's weird.
I mean, that's
it's very
just...
strange.
No, you either go, yeah, Trump's dick is so small jokes, and then you take the power back. Or you attack them for talking about Trump's dick.
You only you pretend to be scandalized by this kind of talk. That's what you do when you're the fucking right wing. You can't make a joke on this joke because you look like this looks bad. This just looks idiotic.
Oh, Trump's dick is small. It's about the same size as Obama's integrity. How about that? You know, like that's the way you do it.
Yeah, that's sort of. Tucking and rolling. You're falling out of the joke is pushing you out of this vehicle.
Yep.
And you just got to land and keep rolling.
You got to keep going.
You're not going to win this one.
Right.
It is what it is.
You get into a different car and you run that car into their car. You're not going to try and hang on.
Yeah. So Alex decides that instead what he's going to do is he's going to, you know that song Big John? You don't mess around with Big John.
Yes.
Alex decides that he's going to do a parody of that, but about Michelle Obama.
You know, wild.
He calls her Big
Mike. He's going to use the, yeah.
Nobody knew where Big Mike came from. He just drifted into town and stayed all alone. If he said much to Big Mike, just said hi. He's Big Mike. You know, they say he got in a fight over a Cajun queen. New Orleans. Yep. I've got to actually get the lyrics from that because I'm going from memory and then rewrite it for Big Mike. In fact,
today
I'm going to get in the studio and I'm going to rewrite Jimmy Dean's Big John. I'm going to get it right because just me joking around last night was viral on Instagram and Twitter, millions of views and, you know, all this other stuff. We're going to do an official ode to Jimmy Dean and Big John, Big Mike. I'm going to rewrite it. I'm going to nail it. We're going to get it done. Oh, boy. Okay, I got more of those. There's so many of these. I have over 20 of these bad boys.
So many of these clips he's got to get to. So, like, I think that there's... this is the attempt to, like, make your own humor off this.
Sure.
And it's such... It feels desperate. It's the opposite of what that Lil Jon felt like.
Yeah.
Like, that felt breezy and, like, actually mildly self-effacing, but also celebratory.
Totally.
This just feels like desperate. And Alex's like, oh, we got a little bit of attention for this bigotry that I packaged in a song parody.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put more effort into that.
Yeah, you got to so here's the thing. Right, you got to recognize when the joke is beating you, mm-hmm. you know. And so he's not recognizing that, because if you did that, if you recognize that, then you've got to do like a writer's room situation. Like the moment Obama killed with a dick joke, you have to be in the office the next morning. Like, how are we going to talk about this? Because if we just allow Alex to go off the dome, we're going to get this shit.
Yeah,
you know.
And this is worse than nothing.
Worse than pretending it never happened.
Yeah,
yeah.
Your job when you're Alex is probably just move on.
Power through. Yeah. Power through. Yeah.
Nothing is a good response.
Yeah.
So Roger Stone comes in, and he's talking about how all the polls that are saying that Harris and Walz are popular,
sure.
they are not real. Because
sure.
there's some trustworthy places that he gets his news
oh,
from.
Oh, boy.
Trump is actually now beginning to move ahead in a number of the key polls that I do trust. The odds makers in Las Vegas, who we both know are virtually never wrong, now moving him several points ahead in terms of his likeliness to win the election.
Yeah, sure. You go to Gallup. I got a bookie. I know a bookie.
Ah. I mean, I don't know. I think he's misunderstanding generally. Now, my understanding of how odds makers work is that they are not like putting their finger on the scale. Their idea is they want to set it up so that they can win a
maximize profit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It's a commercial industry.
Yeah. So like the idea would be like, oh, if there's putting that more on there, it'd be like, oh, there's 10-1 odds for Trump because not enough people are betting on it. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm wrong.
There's a need to make sure the House comes out ahead whenever you're making these books,
right.
whenever you're making these odds.
Right, right, right.
That's
right.
Built into the science of it.
Right.
Whereas people who are doing polling.
Yeah, you want to kind of have like the same amount of money on both sides of the bet.
Mm.
And so you adjust the odds to the place where people will put the same amount of money on both sides of the bet.
It is very funny. That yeah. Roger Stone, like, it's a parody of himself
yeah.
to be like, I don't trust the polls, I know a bookie.
Yeah, that is that is nuts.
It's like him doing a commercial and a prayer.
Yeah, yeah. I got a guy who tells me what yeah. the real straight dope is. Yeah.
So the odds are going up for Trump, though.
Sure.
Because RFK is on board.
Okay.
And he's got buzz.
I don't know.
And I think he can help Trump in many ways, but he does have a buzz out there. He does have his group, the support he does have for himself. While it's still nationally in single digits, he does somewhat better among younger voters. I do think they will follow him. I do think they respect him. I think just as Tulsi Gabbard joining the Trump campaign, the Trump effort, is seismic. That is a huge development.
Is that seismic?
I forgot who Tulsi Gabbard actually was for a second.
And I think anybody who's paying attention assumed that she like supported Trump even when she was running as a Democrat.
Yeah, I thought that like, was I thought that was her whole
yeah,
shtick.
People didn't I don't think it's a seismic shift.
Do people support her, or is she just like an avatar?
I think right wing folk, a lot of them support her.
Okay, okay.
I think that, you know, it's the I left the left kind of support.
Sure, sure. I mean, you know, I think the confusion I have is like the idea of these people are going to follow RFK, mm-hmm. which doesn't make sense to me because I always thought that RFK was like the avatar for which they put their dissatisfaction with the rest of the choices. And gave him that. Not like, oh, well, we're going to follow him. Once he is no longer the representative of dissatisfaction, then he is dead to them, right?
Some percentage.
Right, that yeah. has to be...
There will be that fall off.
Because there's... Because who is like, well, oh, Captain, my captain, dead bear cub asshole, let's do this.
People who are diehard Kennedy stans.
That
people,
is a thing?
People who love the family. They can't get enough of it. American royalty, baby.
Oh, man. I mean, I hey, there are people who still love the monarchy, and more power to them.
There's got to be some small amount that Trump will get from that.
Must be.
But, yeah, I don't know. I think that RFK's relevance comes down to funny headlines.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's it.
His willingness to say weird shit. Yeah.
And so I don't know how much buzz that's really going to generate for Trump. In the same way that like Tulsi Gabbard, like she's primarily popular with like Jimmy Dore types, Tim Pool types.
Right.
We're
right.
already going to support Trump.
Yeah, this they were. Like, yeah.
This isn't breaking any new ground, really. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it would, though.
What?
If Tim Walz and J.D. Vance had a debate, that would be fun.
Oh, boy.
Or what if Kamala Harris and Trump had a debate?
Oh, God.
We need debates.
I don't want any
the
debates.
The other thing I really want to see, Alex, in all honesty, is a J.D. Vance-Tim Walz debate. I mean, get me the popcorn. This will be a classic because it really would be a contrast between two completely different political philosophies. I think J.D. Vance is underrated as Trump's running mate. I think his moment in this race is going to come. His defining moment is going to come, which will prove that he was, in fact, the right choice. I really want to see both of these debates. I think that with Obama moving his top operatives into the Kamala Harris campaign to try to take control of it, you're going to have some friction there, but they have to be thinking about how she can dodge debates because the debates are fraught with peril for her. Trump is a championship debater. He proved in the debate with Biden that he can be disciplined, that he can be focused. He didn't take the bait, even though in his few lucid moments during the debate, Biden tried to bait him. That was a triumphant debate. He was not good. He was excellent.
And I totally agree. And I think as bad as Biden is, Kamala will be worse. That's why I actually don't think she'll debate. I mean, she showed up twice in the last two nights for a minute and a half each time and reads off a teleprompter just to say a few words and looked like a deer in the headlights.
She's agreed to multiple debates. But also...
she's got an advantage over Biden, too, in that she is alive.
Mm-hmm.
That is usually helpful in that.
Yeah, I do think I would like to watch the debate between Walz and Vance because you have, like, very likable versus...
Oh, my God.
What is this? Unlikable person.
I will say that Vance will have... his moment will come. And if he steps up to that moment... I will give you $10 billion.
Here's the premise that I agree with.
Yeah.
Roger's saying that his time will come, which implies that it hasn't yet.
Right.
And that I agree with.
Right, exactly.
whatever impact he's supposed to have has not happened yet.
No. But there will be a moment where everyone truly sees Vance, and I do not think that they are going to get the response that they think they are.
No, but it's nice for Roger to hold out hope.
Good luck.
Now, I do think that when you have Roger Stone on the day after Obama's give speeches at the DNC, and he needs to lead with, I was wrong.
Yeah, you'd think.
Yeah, he probably should. But there's no real talk of that.
It's been a long time since I've heard anybody say they were wrong, to be honest.
I've been predicting Michelle Obama was going to take over the party. Oh, no, she gave a nomination congratulatory speech for Harris.
I could see the angle that I could take, that I would see taking if I was Roger Stone, is I would be like, did you see the two speeches? They both had the keynote speeches. They both got the best review. Blah, 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 blah. They're the old fucking Obamas. They already run everything. The party is theirs. Did you hear them talk and the way everybody, masturbated rapturously?
I guess that's a way that Roger could try to save face,
but that's not what he
predicted.
No. Agreed.
That's not what... it wouldn't work for me, but it might work for Alex.
It's the best I can come up with having less than 40 seconds to think about it.
Yeah. So Alex goes to some calls after Roger leaves, and this one caller, I think he misunderstood some of the chants at the DNC.
All right.
I don't have cable television, but I was able to see enough clips, I think. And, you know, to be honest, one of the biggest takeaways I have, not just from the laughable speakers and, you know, the normal lies, but everyone chanting, do something, right? Everyone chanting, do something. Well, I think, you know, it's no surprise to anybody that the Democrats have had long enough to do something, right? And the hypocrisy of it all is the fact that the one man that actually did something and has done something over the last 12 plus years is the very person that they claim to hate, the very person that they claim to be running against.
So during Michelle's speech, there was a chant of do something.
Okay.
And it was not the audience chanting, I demand you do something.
Right.
It was in response to her saying, don't just sit around and talk. We need to do something.
Sure.
Like, if we want to make a change in politics, we want to make sure that we win this election.
Sure.
Do something.
Right.
Don't just talk. Do something. And some people chanted, do something.
Sure.
But it was not like an indictment of you, Michelle, you do something.
Oh, okay.
And that's the way it seems to be being presented in the conversation with Alex.
I would also have appreciated a nice reverse threat, you know, out of it. Like, hey, do something. Huh? Mm. What do you got? I'm fucking Michelle. Do something. Do it.
I dare you.
I don't give a shit.
While we're on the subject of chants.
Yeah.
There's a chant that unfortunately seems to happen when the Wyatts come out and are about to attack Chad Gable and his friends. And that is people chanting, you fucked up.
Mm.
And if you watch these, I watch these clips on YouTube.
Sure.
I watch them after the fact. I'm not spending all night watching Raw.
Sure.
But they have to bleep it.
They have to bleep the crowd?
Yeah.
That's not cool. You can't do that.
That's a strange revelation.
Yeah.
That you do have to bleep the crowd if you're on TV. And that's the power of the crowd. They can yell obscenities.
I mean, yeah. I'm going to have to go with we should rethink everything about our society if you have to bleep the crowd.
It's weird. It gets in the way.
Start from scratch.
So we get another caller, and this person has really a good question for Alex that he can't really answer, but he tries.
Okay.
Do you think Trump is playing possum in these rallies because
he
knows about the deep state? It's what we talk
about,
listen to you about every single day on InfoWars.
And
is he playing possum or is he just
not
aware? Or what do you think? What's your opinion? What do you think's going through his strategy with these rallies? Thank you.
You're talking about Trump?
Yes.
How are you saying he's playing possum?
Well, I'm saying all the things like, what is an assassination attempt? It's like, he's a smart dude. You know what I mean? This guy's been around. He's been around the block a few times. You know what I mean? He has spoken about
the assassination. He's thanked God for saving him every time. And he has talked about how they stood down. But he needs to go further and directly say, I know you did it and don't try it again.
I'm sorry. That's my point. Why isn't he going for the jugular, or is he playing possum, making people like, I know what you're doing.
Trump, I can't tell you how Trump's brain works, but he's a tough guy. He doesn't want to look weak by. He sees it as whining. If I had to guess,
you would see it as whining. He doesn't want to do that. The guy who complains all the goddamn time.
Wow.
So I think that this is a great question. That I think is funny, but is that being asked in sincere, like, good faith by this caller, which is Trump playing possum by not saying all the shit that you say and that you tell us that he believes on the show?
Yeah.
Why doesn't your version match up with this person?
Yeah.
Is it strategic on his part?
They tried
to shoot him.
I don't know.
It seems like it should be now or never.
Yeah. Yeah, the fun thing about that question is that you can't answer with, no, he's not, because by asking the question, you are acknowledging that the behavior is what it is, right? So you can't be like, I think he's doing a great job. No, because he's making people think that he's playing possum.
Right.
Or at least question whether or not he's playing possum, meaning his behavior is such that they have to question it.
This caller's response is indicative of a bunch of people's response.
Right. A question is an indictment.
You can't pretend that that voice isn't there.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
And, yeah.
No good.
It's not a good answer that Alex has, but there isn't a good answer.
No. It's like, well, I mean, they're in the same situation that everybody was with Biden, where it's like, oh, is Biden alive? No, but you have to say he is. And then we got Kamala, and now everything's fine.
I guess Alex's best play in this situation is, unfortunately, like, he kind of has to be a politician.
Ooh, but then you've lost.
Exactly.
Yep.
That's against the ethos and the myth of Trump. But that's probably the only way you really walk through
Yeah, I mean, they just, they wrote themselves into a corner and now they have to get rid of him or they're going to lose. That's kind of, it's very simple.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost too simple.
Maybe that's what RFK is for. Payback for his uncle and his dad. He's going to murder Trump.
Now we're talking.
Right.
Now that's a movie.
Uh-huh.
Wouldn't give me some trailer music.
Wouldn't it be weird to walk across Trump in a bicycle in Central Park? You just pan out. You see RFK in a jail
ultimate
cell.
Joke.
Yeah.
I mean, if that happens, he has transcended humor beyond anything I could ever imagine. So
yeah,
he
blames it on the worm.
He should just ascend to heaven like fucking Elijah.
Ugh.
In Chariots of Fire.
We'll see what happens on that front.
I mean, man.
So we get another caller.
Yeah.
And this person is critical of Elon Musk.
Good.
Because
uh-oh.
They feel like their account is being throttled.
Not good.
And they're just trying to build a following, man. Elon's letting out, he's all this free speech stuff, but not me.
Right.
What's
right,
going
right.
on?
Yeah, interesting question.
Yeah. And so he believes that by calling InfoWars, he's calling customer service for Twitter.
I think that's a good call.
Because Elon Musk is listening.
Hey.
You know, Elon Musk, all of a sudden, all these accounts got marked as spam, and it's right before the 2024 election. I feel like he's almost censoring us, all these small accounts. You know, if you're Justin Bieber or somebody, your account's not going to get messed with. But somebody like me who's trying to build and trying to, like, spread truth and all that, it's impossible to work with that.
Well, I mean, I can barely keep track of my own X account. Clearly, I get throttled some. That's a big complex issue. There's a lot of Democrat Party groups and that go out and flag accounts over and over again. We know they've been flagging my account to try to suppress it. There's a lot of different techniques they use. And then the smaller accounts get flagged a bunch, and a lot of X is automated. He fired 80% of the employees. And I know that he's got the best platform other than Rumble or smaller, you know, InfoWars in the aggregate. So I don't look a gift horse in the mouth, but definitely Naomi Wolf, last time I checked, had somebody trick her to give them her login information, and they shut her out and kicked her out of her account. And then last time I checked, it's been a few days, she couldn't get any service to get it fixed. So, yeah, I think we should hold Elon's feet to the fire. I just can't definitively tell you what is actually going on. Does that answer your question?
No.
Yeah, sort of. I just, you know, I'm really calling in to make it a stink. You know, I know Elon probably watched the show, and I really want him to see that it's hurting small people, because I actually had a friend who posted videos and they immediately got taken down and he couldn't figure out why. And this is like stuff that he put a lot of work into, and he could have just turned around and deleted it off of his computer for all he, you know, and it got lost for forever.
All right. And I hear you. I'm sorry that's happening. And we need to make the internet open and free again and great again. And, but I don't mind you calling in. I appreciate your call. And you're welcome to call back and say the same thing again. We are here fighting the big tech takeover, and compared to Google and Facebook and all the rest of it, you know, Elon's doing a great job, but certainly there's room for improvement, and I've seen it, in my opinion, the service getting better, it being expanded, but certainly there are a lot of issues, so thank you.
Thank you. Hey, buddy, it's working for me right now, so... Yeah, but we're not going to be mad about you having this problem, because we have to give voice to and support the small accounts that are being... stepped on by the guy who's supposed to not step on. I thought these were like the fundamental problems that they had with old Twitter.
Seems like they thought that Elon was buying it for them,
yeah,
as opposed to for himself.
How the fuck does that story about Naomi Wolf have anything to do with anything?
Well, this is about baffling.
Yeah,
baffling. I'm baffled.
Yeah.
I don't know any of the details.
Tricked.
She got tricked, and then she's not allowed back in, and that is where it ends? I'm just supposed to be left with that?
Mm-hmm.
Who tricked her?
I don't know.
Why?
Unless it was Elon himself.
Right.
I don't know how this relates.
Mm.
But I do think that there's something very charming about this guy thinking that Elon's listening to Alex's show regularly.
No, I think it's Alex's fault. I think it makes perfect sense for this guy to believe that Elon is listening upon the way Alex has treated it.
Yes.
Yeah, this guy is, I mean.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
It's I understand how we got to this point.
Yeah.
But it's insane.
Yes, it is insane.
It's insane that someone would believe that.
Right. Right. And yet, at the same time, it makes perfect sense.
Because, you know, who probably is listening is a guy who kind of sounds like Elon
right.
Musk.
But if you're listening, you have to be like, oh, well, that's secretly Elon Musk, so I can get him a message through back channels.
Mm-hmm.
Through Alex.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Naomi Wolf was on the show recently. If it was the case that Elon's listening, then she shouldn't have had her problems.
Right?
Who gives a shit?
Oh, God.
Nonsense.
Okay.
So get another caller.
All right.
Eric in Texas. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Alex.
Welcome.
Hey, I'm born and raised in Austin, Texas. I'm a 24-year listener. I believe I seen your video when you refused the thumbprint scanner there at the TxDOT. They put you in jail.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. That was pretty cool.
That was pretty cool.
That was pretty cool.
This guy is an award-winning CBD maker. He goes on to reveal that.
Okay.
But this clip, I think, is a perfect encapsulation of how Alex's audience has to believe total bullshit in order to prop up their illusions about him. This is a guy who says he's been listening for 24 years, and the first thing that comes out of his mouth is that he thinks it's cool how Alex went to the DMV and refused to get thumbprinted, which got him arrested. This didn't really happen. This is a myth that Alex perpetuates, but unless you listen to his show regularly, you might not know that he wasn't really arrested for this, and he's admitted that what happened was that he made a big scene at the DMV refusing to get thumbprinted for his new duplicate license application, and then came back after the crowd died down and went through the process because he needed his driver's license to go about his life.
Yeah, that's just important.
The fake version of this story is so much better for an audience member because it preserves the illusion that Alex gives a shit about any of this stuff. If you understand what really happened, it's kind of too obvious that what Alex did was whip people into a frenzy about something he insisted they should be super afraid of, quietly submitted to the thing that everyone was supposed to be afraid of, then marketed videos to the people insisting that they should be super afraid of this thing that he's submitted to, but is pretending to be the champion against, to the point where he's arrested for it. Here's a clip of him from March 20th, 2003.
Okay, Alex, what happened with your deal when you went down to do your license and they asked you to thumb scan? And wasn't there some kind of an uproar? What became of all that?
You see the video in America Destroyed by Design. You ever seen that footage?
No, I've seen Masters of Terror just last week. We picked that up. Really enjoyed it. My mom wants to use it at her church in Wisconsin.
Well, I suggest as a primer, Road to Tyranny is the best we've got production-wise, but... I would suggest you get that one. They're all great.
Were you able to get around the thumb scan?
No. They have a waiver. Some people have gotten it. They will not give it to you and will refuse it. I could sue them, but then I wouldn't have time to be on the radio 6-7 hours a day.
Right.
Like tonight, I'm going to be on Jeff Rentz.
Okay, but I can
I'll be filling
waiver.
In for somebody for 2 hours today here locally. I mean, I'm just working all the time.
I'm just too busy. So the image of Alex being this kind of firebrand that would refuse to play by the man's rules and is willing to go to jail for it is really appealing. It's a very appealing public image and way cooler than right-wing idiot who has good instincts for publicity stunts, at least in the 90s, which is basically what he is. Look, I'm busy. I got to be on the radio. I got to sell this to you, so I can't actually do the fighting thing that I'm implying is so important. It's strange.
Yeah, MLK had to be in a Birmingham jail to write that letter. Otherwise, people would be like, you're full of shit.
Mm.
And that's kind of the problem.
You cannot get the thumbprint unless you're busy.
Yeah, no, that's... really? Oh, is that all... Okay, I'll just work harder? What?
If you're too busy... to get a thumbprint, it is very important that you insist other people not get it.
Right.
Because it's tyranny, but you're under the tyranny because you're too busy.
You got to work to get people out of the tyranny.
Cool, man.
Yeah.
So anyway, we get to Victor Boot.
Sure.
And he comes on. Okay. Here's Alex's, the end of a very long-winded introduction.
Okay.
Give us the Russian view of what you see happening in America. Trump being grazed by the bullet, by the grace of God, the other bullets missing, killing one man and wounding two others. Do you think the deep state will try again? What is your military, business, Russian-American understanding? Because I'd say you're pretty much American, 10 years in American prison. View on the world, and what do you think Putin's view is?
Well, it was... hi, Alex. First of all, greetings with a love from Russia, who is now in the front line fighting for future of all humanity. And what's going on, it's really... maybe we are blessed to see how finally we're coming to this final stages of this global fight, of the geopolitical shifting, which last time happened maybe 100 years ago.
I don't know how Alex is supposed to pretend his audience isn't capable of understanding what Boot is talking about, and it's the end of America's international power. Mm-hmm. I get that America being a superpower is a generally corrupt notion, and that we should find new ways to have international order, but Boot specifically wants America to be less powerful because he wants to reestablish the Soviet Union.
Right.
That's what his political party is based in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Liberal Democratic Party of Russia was founded on principles like reclaiming lost territory, including Alaska.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know what Alex is going. What are you trying to pretend here?
It should be our stuff. We want our stuff.
The party that Boot is in, it was started by a guy who described his goal as, quote, a political revelation of the foundation of a new arrangement in our region and a new favorable world order. If I were an InfoWars listener and I heard Alex sucking up to this guy, it would cause some real dissonance. Like, I would maybe be a little bit pissed off.
I mean, listen, at a certain point, I'm just going to start shouting Wolverines. Mm. Like, I don't even know what else to say. Wolverines! Like, we can't do that. Mm. We can't do that. You're supposed to be the anti-Russia guys. That's been your whole thing, lifetime.
Yeah, and look, I don't think having a knee-jerk, everything Russia is bad mentality is good.
Ridiculous.
I think that would be, you know, I think it's easy to go down take that crutch a little much. But this is fucking ridiculous.
I mean, yeah.
This is a guy who's a former arms dealer, international criminal, who fled back to Russia in a prisoner exchange and is now a governor for the controlled opposition party in Russia.
There could be
it's an absurd person for you to have on your show.
No, there's just no going back. Mm. It's crazy. It is crazy. Unless it is like I'm gonna swayze you. I don't know how to engage
unless
this with
this. Is part of a sting,
right? Like, yeah. I could have like this is a conversation, but you're not supposed to be those guys. Mm-hmm. You're the reactionary guys.
Yeah,
yeah.
The only way this makes sense is if Alex is it's a long setup for him to be like, you should meet my friend RFK.
Yes.
In Central Park at night,
right around 1:30.
Ride a bike.
Uh-huh.
If he was doing that, and this is like an elaborate setup,
yeah,
sure, but
yeah, that makes sense. But otherwise, to just like, oh, it's cool that you're an internet what?
It's a very boring and understandable interview too, because
sure.
I mean, it's all just like Russia is the good guy in Ukraine,
right.
You know, NATO sucks.
What is he going to say?
Russia is a utopia. This is also wonderful. It's just, I don't know. It's over the top Russian propaganda, quite frankly. But there was one clip that I pulled from it.
Okay.
So this is our last clip.
Okay.
But I thought that this was kind of bordering on funny.
Okay.
From Victor.
I'm listening.
So they talk a little bit about this idea that Russia is taking refugees from the globalists. So
right.
If you're running away from the New World Order.
People are running right towards Russia. Love it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so here's Victor talking about that a little.
Russia now is the only one European country who is still, you know, recognized a normal family. Who will still give a freedom to kids to grow normal kids without being exposed to this confusing, propaganda of LGBTQ and what else is now added. AAP, and every year it grows like an additional, you know, 3-4 letters of different weirdo, you know, practices. So this is a good sign to all humanity. You have a refuge land. You have the land where you can regroup, organize, and start your fight to liberating your own, you know, countries. Russia is there to protect entire humanity.
We're protecting humanity because we're giving you a refuge, a place you won't be. There's not the confusing gaze around.
I mean, this I enjoy for one specific reason. In the estimation of these people, the good people allow refugees in.
Mm. But only if you're a refugee of the globalists.
Sure, sure. Uh-huh. I would argue that based on what they say, everybody is a refugee of the globalist.
No, it's really just if you want to hate gay people.
Right, right.
It's cool over there.
Right. But here's the thing. Like, even then, see, but if you wanted to hate gay people and then come over here, Alex would be like, don't come over here. You know, like, again, even in Victor Boot's mind, he's mistaking the idea of a good person for Alex and the idea of like, oh, well, fine, I'll let people in. No, Alex doesn't want anyone in.
Not here.
Yeah.
But he's cool. He's cool with it if it's
if it's going to Russia.
And you're white.
Yeah. Yeah. Wild.
White, Christian, straight,
sheesh,
cis. All then refugees are fine.
Sure.
To Russia.
Well, until they're not. Yeah.
That we can't imagine that day would ever come.
No, no, I'm sure.
I just think that this is parody level almost. Like, we are the last refuge where you don't have to have confusing gay people around.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. I feel like Alex should. It strikes me very similarly to responding to a dick joke. You know,
yeah.
It's
yeah.
just like you shouldn't be doing this.
I wonder. You know. I think maybe they feel trapped by what they believe. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't understand that feeling at all. Like, that concept of being like, oh, man, maybe life would be better if I didn't believe things that led me to being on InfoWars talking to Alex as though Russia's not committing all kinds of war crimes right now. You know?
I don't know. I think Boot's pretty joyful.
He does seem pretty stoked about it.
Yeah. I don't know.
Ugh.
You know, I tune in and I'm looking for DNC coverage.
Was that what we were doing?
I'm looking because, like, I've existed in the continuity of time.
Sure.
And I have seen Alex's show over the past months.
Yeah.
And months and months. And the DNC is huge. DNC is the, like, culmination of a lot of these narratives. Biden.
Mm-hmm.
Biden stole the nomination and the presidency in the first place in order to get the pieces in place so Hillary and Michelle could take over.
Right.
All this, it's just deflating. There's barely really an analysis of it. Instead, we're going to talk to a fucking Russian arms dealer.
It cannot be overstated how easy they thought they were going to have it shitting on Biden and how fucked up they are by this whole thing.
And, you know, you're burdened with Vance.
I mean, again, all of these things make way more sense if you think, fuck it, we're playing with house money. Biden is actually dead, you know? But now they're like, ah, shit.
Yeah.
And they've got nothing.
I know a man who would call that hubris.
I got a bookie. Uh-huh.
So, I'm disappointed. It feels like a dud.
Yeah,
everything feels kind of like, eh. So, all right, we'll be back another episode. But until then, we have a website.
Indeed, we do. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep, we're also not on social media, but we'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I am the mysterious professor.
Woo! Yeah! Woo!
And now here comes the sex robots.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.